already has a cool song, the first song. So go ahead and turn to that cool song for 840 points. And just a reminder, Wednesday night, that Tony will be given the invitation on Wednesday, hopefully by November. And tonight, opening prayer is Tim Clark. And then Tony will be on the table for any that needs to take a little supper tonight. And Dave Dickerson has the closing prayer. This Wednesday night, we will be in the cafeteria. We will be in the cafeteria meeting right here on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Of course, I was mentioned this morning, Chuck mentioned it to us, that Mark and Courtney are out of town, and Kevin and Ralph. So we need to remember them. And if Warren is not here and sitting here with us, then you know he's not here.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue, if your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend, trust his promises ran. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal.
What can point that that's discussed lots of with for his Jesus and how we all fit in actually. Thank you so much, Father, for being our God and our Creator and having find salvation for us and being reconciled to you. Father, we want to give you all the glory and praise and honor that we give you as our Creator and our Maker. Hope you help us all to recognize that we are the priesthood and we always look to your word as our guide and never try to develop our own standards. We're always available in that effort, Father, and pray that help us every day. Father, we want to thank you, thoughts and praises to you, glorify you, and honor you. This afternoon, we worship you. We want to give you back all the magnificent and glory that is due to you, Father. Please gather here in the congregation of Christians, Father, we pray that help us to edify each other by our presence here, by strength and by each of us being here. Having one thing in mind, and what we can do better, Father, in our daily lives, and by sin less, and by better Christians each day. Father, we pray for our brother Warren and those folks who have health issues to look out for God, and we ask that you look down upon him, touch him, and let the doctors who are looking after him provide the means to correct what's wrong, and help him having himself back, Father. We always want to pray for those who are not with us. Bless those prayers and we ask you to all make known to our brothers and sisters in Christ what our needs are. We want to be a family of Christians. Let's have that closeness, that bond of uniting us all together, that common drive, Father, to come together. That's what we want to be able to be. Lord, we pray that you'll be with our efforts to gather funds for the building. We pray that you'll bless our efforts to have a permanent place, Father. So thank you for this place that we have to meet, Father, and you know that no matter where we are, that you're there with us. Thank you for being, thank God, for the presence for us. Father, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the death on the cross, love that you have for us, undying love, God, in love that we have the hope of heaven. Pray that you help us to always acknowledge Jesus as the mediator to you, and we'll always pray to you, Father, and always be a prayerful people. Father, as we go about this important service this evening, we ask you to look down upon your favor. Help us to always do things important to you, and never waver from that. We always understand the truth of it. We ask you always to take time to worship your son.
Sing song number 511. Four suppers off the second time, those who rhyme with the second time. Song number 511.
Off we come together, off we sing and pray. Here we bring our offering on this holy day. Help us, Lord.
Our Heavenly Father, we gather around this table and say, mercy. We're being thankful for the opportunity to take this and pray that those who are about to take it will pray Christ upon their feet. Thank you, great sacrifice that you made upon this land. We pray as we gather around this table, we will set aside all worldly thoughts.
It's Margaret Usamba, Mark song number 50. Song number 50. We are song and encouragement after Chuck Lesson. To mark that song, turn with me to song number 523. Would you please stand with me this song? Sorry.
everyone out tonight. You know, last Sunday night, I'm starting, not like the guinea pigs, but I'm just using my sermons. I'm preparing for the meeting in Paducah. Debbie and I will leave next Sunday morning. And they have day classes also. And for the day classes, we're doing a series Monday through Thursday. This meeting just it's a Sunday through Thursday meeting. We're going to go back Thursday night. But the day classes, we're doing a series on the church is, and then we have four different studies. Last Sunday night, we did the one on a strong church adores and abhors. And we studied a lot of interesting things there. Now, tonight, and I'll just go ahead and tell you the future lessons. Tonight we're going to be talking about the fact that a church leaves and cleaves. What we're doing tonight. Leaves and cleaves. Well, you kind of have an anticipation where I'm going with this, so I want to encourage you to open up your Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And while you're turning there, I know Aaron had already said this. But for those who know what Warren's been going through, not only him not being here tell us that things aren't well, even while he was here, he was tough. It's been tough on him. We do solicit your prayers. God hears the prayer of a righteous man. Care for our own. Care for everybody. But let's keep him in our prayers as that thing improve for him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul writing to the brethren says, "Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin." Over in Romans, the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 1, we have this concept of marriage again, but the church, we're being married to Christ. And that's where I came up with this concept. It's not new to us. We've heard that term leave and cleave before when we're talking about a marriage. But I'm going to use those terms in talking about the book. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 1, Paul said, verse 1, "And do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who are of the law, who know the law, that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, that she is no adulteress, though she married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." So he even uses the analogy there. Don't worry about it. You're not under the old law. Because, you know, if you were under the old law and the new, that's spiritual law. You can't be married to both at the same time. So he uses the concept of marriage here in talking about the fact that we're under the law of Christ, we're under the gospel. We're married to him. And so as you can see, it's not a stretch when we talk about the concept that when we talk about our relationship with the Lord, that we leave and cleave. And a strong church does this. Remember, last week, a strong church adores and abhors. And those who don't adore certain things, not really strong church. If you don't abhor certain things, not really strong church. And obviously, that's what we want to be. We want to be a church that is strong and get stronger. As Paul would remind the Thessalonian brethren, you know, he compliments them. He says, "But I just want these things to abound in you." Brethren, things need to grow with us. And so we're talking about these things tonight. Let's just be mindful of them. And so a lot of these things, I'm sure you can anticipate where we're going. So I think, first of all, we're going to go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and talking about three quick things here of what a church leads. Sure, you can add to this. But I only have about 40 minutes over there during the day to see my new class. So I'm kind of anticipating that. And so two or three points on each. What does a strong church believe? Well, I asked you to turn to Matthew chapter 6 because of what it says. If you know verse 24, he said, "No one can serve two masters. either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. Here it is. You cannot serve, can't serve God and man. And the church, made up of God's people, we are a family with a relationship with Christ. But we're a family. And we're mindful of that. So therefore, we're not going to serve two masters. Well, what are we leaving? Our former master. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. Now that former master, of course, would relate to the idea that, as Paul talked about the Roman brethren, you present yourselves as instruments or members of righteousness, and we don't serve unrighteousness, which I'm going to talk about. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, beginning, he said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away, the lust and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. Obviously, a strong church is one that is going to leave the world. God be thanked that though you were servants of sin, that's the way he put it over there in Romans chapter 6. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you became servants of righteousness. You know, we have to do all that we can here as members of the body of Christ. We make up the church. Not one of us is the church. Not one of us. Dan and I were talking about that on the radio program. So we make up the congregation here. And so this church is going to be strong in this community. How so? Well, we left the world. We have left the world. And we have to do everything that we can to keep that worldliness out. And that's a tough job. You guys know about these guys that are the Amish, right? Well, man, they stand out. I mean, those guys stand out. I mean, the way they dress and what they use for modes of transportation and the things that they have sacrificed, things they don't use, like, you know, things the electronic age that we live in. There's just many things they don't. And you say, well, look at them, man, they just stand up, man. You're gonna know an Amish person as you cross them on the street. I mean, they're just so obvious. They're different. They just don't want to be like the world. And of course you and I say that, well, there are things that they are wrong to do that we know from a biblical standpoint, it's not wrong to drive a car. Okay. But my point is that you and I need to be different like them in this sense. Remember, our righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. We don't condemn religious people just because they're religious. You might say that what they're doing is wrong. Like I've told you before with my Mormon friends, I admire their courage. Might admire somebody's dedication. This might sound really weird. Can you admire somebody who would put on a bomb and walk into a crowd and blow himself up? Say, Jeff, do not say you admire that person. I'm telling you, folks, if you die, you know, you will. Now, I'm not saying they're right. Matter of fact, I can tell you they're wrong. But I'm saying that there are people that have conviction. And you and I understand that when we're part of the body of Christ and we're married, and Paul says, I want to present you to Christ like a case virgin to him, and you're pure, and what that means is that you're not worldly. You're not like that. You've come out of that kind of a life. And that's what we mentioned this morning in Ephesians chapter 5. I don't remember one of them, but Ephesians chapter 5, remember what he says in verse 26, that he might sanctify, okay, he's talking about the church in verse 25, that he might sanctify, which means to set apart, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. See, this is why we go to 1 John chapter 2 and we talk about the immorality that's in the looking at us as a whole. You know, I'm mindful of that. Nancy brings a friend today, and I was asking Nancy afterwards, well, what did you say? Because, you know, when people leave, you find out, really, what did they really think? Now, you know, they were just being nice. But what did they say after they left? And, you know, the person wants to come back. And, you know, the person gets a good impression. But we're mindful of how we appear to other people. And that's just not me making that up. Just stay with the word. I'll give you the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That very point that I just said to you is what Paul was trying to tell the brethren there when they couldn't get along. And when somebody comes into their assembly and he's wanting them to be mindful of who they are and what they might think about you when they come into your assembly. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, pick up verse 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is for not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together, like we are, spiritual gifts exist in the first century, but if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, what will they not say you're out of your mind? You know, we don't want people come in here and say, because the church is different. We as God's people, we're not always together, but when we leave this place, we discuss in our Bible study, we represent the river. Get it? Where are you going? When people know you. I tell you, you're kind of committed when you get on the radio program and you're taped. And so anybody that knows Mark Nevins, anybody that knows Dan Latini, anybody that knows Tim, and I could list the rest of you guys that are on there. When people see you, and they know that from the way you are at work and at play, they just know who you are. But my point is, we leave the world. And that's why we always are mindful of our actions, how the world sees you. Are you worldly? Think world, you act world. Who decides what's entertaining before? Who decides what's acceptable speech? And Paul talks about in Jesus chapter 5. Who decides the Lord does? What's wholesome entertainment the Lord does? You know, that's the whole point. We don't let the world dictate that to us because we are members of the church. And a strong church will leave that stuff behind, leave that worldliness, preach on that stuff to make sure it doesn't creep in. Have you ever heard that expression? Strong church. What's it made up of? Made up of a bunch of members. The 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about it. We're not all a foot, we're not all an ear. Matter of fact, that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as you go on down there, he talks about those members that might seem less important. Now, this congregation is made up of older people. This congregation is made up of younger people. I don't mean young age wise, but how long they've been Christian. So you have that diversity within this congregation, and any congregation you go to pretty much. You have that diversity. So what's your point? Well, coming to Christ and being part of a family means that we have to leave things behind. That's what's going to make for a strong church. A weak church is having people come in with their background and things they've been taught, things they've learned and never discerned, and they bring baggage with them. And these brethren were being influenced because of their baggage. What am I talking about? Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I had baggage when I became a Christian. I'll talk about that in a moment. Verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I can Paul say to you this. You become circumcised, Christ's prophet. circumcised, he becomes a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You attempt to be justified by law. He falls from grace, he tells his brethren. Look, you have to move forward. If the false teachers are trying to encourage you to look back and hold on to things, and this is what will happen within a congregation. You'll find people bringing baggage with them, thoughts that are not based upon the Word of God. It's very dangerous. Watch out. Make sure that when you disagree with something, that it's not an opinion. If it's just opinion, go to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 talks about differences of opinion, not doctrinal matters. Guys, you don't lay this aside. You don't have it. You don't. It's opinion, all right? But in doctrinal matters, that's something completely different. And for you and I, when we became Christians, when I became a Christian, nobody knew this when I came up out of the waters of baptism.
Still has Calvinistic ideas.
Because I didn't know a lot. I have to learn yet. I have my whole life ahead of me. I don't know how much time I have, but the point is, okay, Jeff, you have to grow now. You have to grow. You have to learn. You have to study. You know, that's what's going to make for a strong church, is that, you know what, you let go of things that are not based upon the Word of God, because we, as God's people, what is it that we discussed last week? We walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 10:17, and our faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So let's make sure that we don't believe things and practice things because Mom and Dad believe it over here, or at least this room over here used to teach it, or these are ideas that I thought over the years, you know, that have been ingrained in my head. Okay, I know that, but now your life is different because now your feet planted on the Word. And if it's not based on the Word, then you're not going to do it. And you're going to study first before you do it. You're not going to do it and hope it's right. That's not walking by faith, folks. You know, you might do something, and you might hope this is okay. And it might be okay. But you didn't know it was okay. Study to make sure. That's what walking by faith is all about. That's the confidence, not a feeling that I hope it's okay. That's why we have the Word of God, and we became members of the church, and we let that past go. We don't bring baggage with us. The past is my next one. But we don't bring that baggage with us. And it's difficult. It was so difficult for me. Because when people took me to passages like Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh, and 1 John chapter 1, they couldn't convince me. But then, they couldn't convince me about immodest apparel because I swam like a fish. Hey, we lived on a lake, for crying out loud. Wintertime, we fished on it. Okay, cut a hole. But the point is, it was just on the lake, I was like, it was great. And when that thought of, man, we skied, we swam, we didn't care about the way we dressed, man. I just swam all the time. If you're bad at it, they bet I'll swim like a rock. You know, it's good to learn how to swim, folks. Nothing. You criticize women. There's anything wrong with that. I was just talking about immodest apparel. Well, I'm not. But I'm saying I brought baggage with me, and it was hard. It was hard. But if I learned the principle that we're talking about here with the Galatian brethren, you know what? If you hold on to that stuff, Christ will profit. If you're going to walk by faith, you better have a thus saith the Lord, as 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says. Because if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracle of God. I told people that. You guys have heard me. I'm a broken record on this. This particular point about baggage is what I preached when I was in Kentucky. Remember I told you about the smoker? I told the guy, go ahead and smoke. I told him right from the pulpit. I said, go ahead and smoke. Just be fully persuaded that it's taught in here. Not because you've always done it, you like it, you enjoy it, and you've seen other people do it. That's what makes us different. And we're a strong church because we only do what we know we've read from here, and we have the confidence to study. You rightly divide. That's what makes for a strong church. The love about the group here. Thirdly, let go of the past. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. A strong church doesn't live in the past. You know, a church can be weak and become strong. As you turn to Philippians chapter 3, I preached for a congregation for 6 years. You know what I heard for 6 years? The good old days. I kid you not. The good old days. When Brother so-and-so preached here. This was a thriving church. We were a growing church. And, you know, it's just like, all the sermons he preached. And you think I'm making this stuff up? You know, there was another preacher that came after me and another preacher after me. And I went with that third preacher. I went down to meet him one day. A bunch of us guys. I was living in Toronto. We were gonna go golfing. He goes, wait a minute. He was a single guy. He opens up the door and he yells the preacher's name that used to live there a gazillion years ago. He yells down. He goes, see you later. I'm going golfing now. Where'd that come? That's all he's hearing. He's hearing the same thing. Oh, years ago when Brother So-and-so was here. And Brother So-and-so, everybody was living in this guy's shadow. Get over it. Move on, guys. Forget the good old days. Now are the good old days. Now are the good days. You make the best way. You know, I see Paul teaching this principle of chapter 3 and verse 12. Begin. Not that I've already attained nor am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of for that which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do know, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know what I'm going to apply this to also? Is if this church ever has a problem. The church has that problem. Doctrine. Not afraid of problems. And it might be hurtful, whatever it is. We just had a problem. Maybe we just made some bad choices. You know what? We're not perfect. Maybe that's true. Repent of it, or we'll do better. We've learned from it. Let's just go forward. And for the next 10 years, I don't know why they ever did. I don't know why. Why did we get ourselves in this book? Can we move on? A strong church moves on, and I've seen brethren get stuck in the past. I mean, and they just gripe and complain. That doesn't make for a conflict. Could you imagine a husband and wife? Hey, you got a strong marriage? And every time you go up, you bring it up, or he brings up prayer. Same argument, that same fight that you had 5 years ago. Keep bringing it up and recycling it. Can we move on? Let's move on. Be strong, as we're talking about here. And churches must be like that. Churches are made up of individual Christians. And that goes for all of us here as we work together as a congregation. Love this stuff. I don't think I'm going to be worked up even this much. Because it'll be a Bible study and I'll ask them to read it and they'll make comments. You guys are getting a different version of this series. Okay. So, can't ride on the reputation of the past. What about us? Original, if we can use that terminology. So, who are the core? Who are here in the beginning? Who is here in the beginning? That's you guys, you know. Oh, weren't those the good old days? I mean, there were so few of us, we could all meet in somebody's living room and we could get together all the time. Those were the great old times. Now we're too big, we can't get to somebody's house. We had more get-togethers back then. Isn't that true? You get up to 100. You can put everybody in house. Not going to happen. Oh, that was leave. I'd like to spend more time on leave. Now let's talk a little bit about leave. That's the way. First Peter, that's it. I'm not going to wear a jacket. Straight up. Yeah, wear it. As I emailed Trey, we're talking about going. We're going to have air. We'll be able to breathe. But not the other. Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 1, he tells us, verse 13, therefore gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation. As obedient children, not conforming ourselves to the former lusts of it in your ignorance, but as he has called you, is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. You know, this is the exact opposite of the previous point that we made about worldliness. It's logically what impression? You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become before. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Next two verses. Look. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, if you pick up in verse 9, he called you out of darkness and what we left. Folks, just can't leave without pleading. You know, sometimes people leave and they don't plead. Sometimes people say, you know, they get into a marriage, okay, I stop, I don't go, I don't see other women. Yeah, but can you give me a little bit of attention? So you could leave other women, yes, and say, I do, and get married. But if you don't cleave and there's no bond there and you're not trying to love your mate and strength, well, what good's that? And so as you're talking about here, you can leave the world. You can leave the world. And that's why what's a big difference when we talk about the denominations of our day, when we talk about religious people. Do you know that you can talk to people, and I've read it, and talk to people who said, Chuck, since I joined that religion, somebody that just made some sacrifices in your life and you don't do this anymore, it becomes apparent that you want to be like him. 1 Peter chapter 2. Awesome. All right. What else do we believe? Well, Tony talks. Okay. John 4:24, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 16. We can read about the pattern of giving. We need to claim to the pattern. Strong church understands that there's a pattern. Some churches get themselves, autonomous churches, get themselves into trouble when they want to be different. want to be different. We don't want to be like all the other churches of Christ around. We need to be a different church of Christ. When people walk into our church, it's our church of Christ. You see, they get that concept, ours. You see, that's what gets them in trouble in the first place. This is our church. Christ. You better follow his pattern. It's the point. And there is a pattern. We've read them. That's why we don't take up a collection on Wednesday night. Because you had the Corinthian brothers. I have given this to all the churches of Galatia. Then you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and verse 33 and verse 40. Now you have this pattern of doing things decently and in order. God's not the author of confusion. The things that we do here, we better have authority for all that we do. And while I was sitting there, before I was getting up to preach this, and listening to Aaron do the announcement, I'm going to have to make this. I'll pencil them. But it relates to last week's topic. Now remember I said a door is an afford? And remember one of the three points we talked about was which we adore? We talked about the church, a strong church adores Christ. A strong church adores the Word. And a strong church adores the man. Well, I want to talk about that right here. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 6. I want to insert this point. You know we need to cleave to? I mean, we already understand that we're presented to Christ. We belong to Him. All right, we get that point. I'm not minimizing that and saying the point I'm about to talk about now is more important. No. But, having said that, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burden and fulfill the law of Christ. When he comes down and says in verse 10, therefore let us, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Brethren, no. As we focus on the work here, we know we have an adversary. But a strong church pulls together. They work together. This is not a police force. This church will fall in a heartbeat if it's Chuck's church or Simon. It'll fall in a heartbeat. It's not our church. It is not our church. And that's why we solicit your prayers. You guys, when you're praying for the leadership of the congregation, you guys have been praying for the elders, you've been praying for the deacons. Pray for all the members, we pray for those that are sick and those that are traveling, but the point is, we need to cleave to each other because we are the family of God. We're the family of God. And how are you going to bear one another's burden? And TJ was talking about this morning, he made reference to James chapter 5. You know what? If one wanders away from the truth, what are you talking about? Who's going to observe that? Who's going to observe if somebody wanders away from the truth? Well, that's Chuck and Jesse's job. Well, yes, it is. It really is. But, what, just Tim and Chuck love you? Yes. Are you to love each other? Yeah. We look up for one another. So cleave to one another. You know, what's cool is when somebody walks away tonight, goes home, sends an email to somebody who wasn't. And they did that without being told. That's cool. Or somebody goes and sends a card to somebody who they found out wasn't feeling well. That's cool. You know, we just do this because people just do this on their own. Because a strong church does that. A strong church cleaves to one another because it's a member and we value each other. And if you went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you would understand clearly that if my finger was smashed right now, my whole body. What's not going to happen here if we are disassociated. I won't do the visual because it would be gross, but if I took Keith out and Keith out put it over there, that doesn't hurt. It separates them. It's not real. Okay. But can it? They're in there. They're solid. That hurts her. If I grab some pliers and took her teeth out and put it over here, she's crying and crying and crying. See, the point is, when we're separated from each other and we don't care, and that's why God's family, as Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when he says every member is important within the body. And I'm going to say, brother, a strong church will lead and a strong church will cleave. And we need to be mindful. Let me just tell you the next week. talk about is a strong church deals in healing.
Okay? I actually had a side note that was just weak and I like the first better.
And then the last one, you guys are going to know what this one's all about. A strong church grows. Thinking about this because that's what we want here. We want to move forward. We're not stuck in the past. We're excited about the future. And you know what? When we get into the new building, we say, I really like it over there in Free Sharing Place. I'm going to take I like Free Sharing Place. There's nothing wrong with it.
Big enough.
We're moving ahead. And so let's be excited about that and be thankful for who we are and do everything that we can as members of this congregation to say, I'm going to do what I can to help to the stability and strength of the church, the family that I belong to. Are you a member of the body of Christ? That's right. If not, you know what? You need to become a part of His family. He wants you to. And you can't become a part of God's family by saying, look at how good I am. I'm a great dad. I'm a great mom. I'm a great friend. I know these members. I give them the shirt off. As a matter of fact, I have given them the shirt. I've helped them when they've needed me. I'm just a great person. That's great. It's great that you've left. But you need to quit. You need to put on Christ and baptism. Because if you don't, you're not married. You're not married. And you know what happens when a person says that they have a relationship with somebody and they're not married? You say, that's fornication. Right? That's fornication. And so really, it's not a bond that you think it is. And so if somebody's claiming to have this wonderful relationship with Christ and has never been married to Him, spiritual fornication. They're pretending that there's a relationship there that really doesn't exist. They're in sin. And so let's make sure that we're right with God. And in a few moments, we're going to be led in a song. We're here to help. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, you need to come back to Him on His terms. As a family of God, we'll please you. Help you. And all that's very good. Here's the invitation anyway. Let it be known. Stand together.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing.
people here too, so we may want